than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is a Purple Friday preview, and the Ravens are getting ready to tangle with those dangerous Detroit Lions. Talking with me about all things Ravens Lions. It's my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Yeah, just getting through the week, brother. It's going to be Purple Friday indeed, and you know, we're counting down to the, you know, the first December game, and I can't believe it's December already, bro.
I know. This year has just been flying by. This football season's going even faster, but let's get right into it. So on Wednesday, the injury report came out, and this is the first time this season, really, that the Ravens have played pretty much with every single person on the roster. Everyone has practiced, whether it be limited or full participant. Everyone was there except for one. Alex Collins, the guy who has been like the darling of this year, missed the practice with a calf issue. We don't know if he's going to play on Sunday or not, but it can't be a good sign for him to miss the Wednesday practice. So, Josh, what's your thoughts on this? What do the Ravens do if Alex Collins goes out? Who is going to replace all that energy he has?
It's going to be hard to, man, because Alan Collins has been the breath of fresh air and the spark that the Ravens needed at the running game. And you want to, you know, obviously you want to Danny Woodhead to fill in his place, but the way he runs and the style he runs, they do buck out anything to answer, man. I feel like he doesn't hit the, you know, the running lanes with a burst of energy or vigor, if it could be said. And I feel like Danny Woodhead's obviously the finesse back. So if he doesn't go Sunday, it's going to be a very long day in the running game.
Well, Alex Collins, he, like you said, he is his own character on the field. He's got so much bursts of energy. He stretches the field as not many running backs can do anymore. Danny Woodhead, Buck Allen, they don't have that that kind of speed. They just don't. If you activate Terrence West, who is healthy, he can get out there on the field, but he's not going to get you many yards. He's a bruiser. He's a guy that if you need like 1 or 2 yards, he can usually push his way through. So with a passing game already kind of beat up and not very good, and you take away Alex Collins, that, I mean, you're really handcuffing the offense to potentially not score any points at all. I mean, you've got Joe. What's he going to do with the ball? I mean, is he going to run the all the way down the field? I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening at all. And what in team, you know, going away from obviously my rants earlier in the week, and I think I'm done. You know, I don't know if you saw, you know, my Twitter feed and Facebook feed, but everybody was texting me like, "Are you okay, dude?" What happened was I was listening to Sports Talk Radio, and you know, some stupid fans were chiming in, and I kind of just got fired up, and I was like, "You know what? Here we go." And I cleansed myself, so I'm good now. But you know, getting away from that, I'm going to touch on that too, because I don't have faith in the passing game. So if Alex Collins goes out, dude, that's our second strength, the running game. I mean, we already know our defense is our defense is our defense, and we're winning with defense and running game. Those are two key ingredients, and they take care of the football. And I feel like, you know, it's not really the matter of fact as for throwing 400 yards or 4 touchdowns a game, but managing the game and the passing. And I feel like if the Ravens don't get playmakers involved and our running game's non-existent, the run sets up the pass and vice versa. And dude, we're going to be so one-dimensional. This might be a lopsided loss if Alex Collins don't go. We need everybody healthy for this run.
Now, we need everybody healthy, but do we need everyone to play? 2 weeks ago, Breshad Perryman was a healthy scratch. He was enjoying the game from the sidelines. And it was the coach's way of saying, you know, let's hit the reset button. Take all the pressure off of yourself. Just go out there and play the game and get a different perspective from this week. He goes out Monday night, makes zero impact whatsoever. I think the only thing he did was he blocked for Buck Allen on his touchdown, and that was about it. So, or was it Alex Collins? I can't remember who got that touchdown. But Breshad Perryman, there was a choice. Do we want his speed against the Texans, or do we want Michael Campanaro to be able to return a ball after a punt or two? So, you know, use your crystal ball. What do you think? If the Ravens are looking at who to start at wide receiver against the Detroit Lions, do they stick with Perryman, or do you let a guy like Michael Campanaro get the ball this time?
You almost had to let Michael do it because we already know Perryman. I've had enough of him, man. I mean, you know, I think it's – this is the four wideouts you have to put out there is Macklin, Wallace, Moore, and Campanaro. That should be the four workhorses in the wide receiver core. You know, maybe going down the depth chart and adding a fifth, but I think Perryman – you don't even have to ask me twice. He's off the roster as far as I'm concerned.
So it's kind of crazy to think, but is there a chance like we don't see him the rest of the year, or do you think the Ravens do put him out there?
Well, the Ravens put him out there because that's the Ravens. It's what the Ravens are going to do. They're going to Raven that way. I'm not going to fault them for that. You know, that's where they choose to, you know, put their time and investment. But it's very disheartening when it's a show me what you've done lately league. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're not benching Flacco, so let's get off that. But it's like, you know, I'm happy that Perryman's empty scratch. Somebody asked me this week, they're like, well, Perryman was a healthy scratch. Why wouldn't Flacco be a healthy scratch and get him right? And if it was an interesting question. It made me think for a minute, like, you know what? What if? Because it's like, you know, Perryman wasn't playing good. It was a healthy scratch, and Harbaugh kind of already came out and said he did it as a lesson. Maybe it'll clear his head and get him to play good. And obviously, he had two targets, didn't haul in a catch. But, and someone at Fan posed a question, well, why don't you bench Flacco to get him right or to get him straight? That's not going to work for Joe because Joe's Joe, and he's an all-pro quarterback who's been in the league 10 years. He's been in the biggest games, in the biggest moments, on the biggest stage, and it's not Flacco. There's a lot more to it than just that. I mean, there's mechanics, there's this, there's that. Benching former, because he always has the MVP, but, you know, benching a Super Bowl MVP quarterback, which he does have on his resume, isn't going to quote-unquote rattle Joe. It would rattle Perryman because he's in his third year and he's the grow and he hasn't produced yet. Joe's produced before. So sitting there and going and disciplining Flacco, that wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't do anything. It's like if you were a seasoned vet at your craft, at your job, and for some reason you just weren't producing, but you know you've done it before. You know, what was that? If somebody coming in and if you were going to get benched for your job, would it bring a fire into you? Everybody's different. It wouldn't work in Joe, and I just have the funny feeling. So, but it is an interesting question. You know, what if we put Mallon in there to rattle him? No. You know, I think, you know, you already know my feelings on Perryman, but it's just the experiment. I mean, the Ravens are going to put him in there because that's what they're going to do. You know, they have to do it. You know, do they want to? Probably not, but I feel like, you know, it's that quote-unquote obligation to do it, and it's just going to hurt him in the long run.
Yeah. Now looking at the quarterback for the Lions, Matt Stafford, he hurt his ankle in the Thanksgiving game, but it looks like it hasn't affected him that much. He was a full participant on Wednesday, so there's you know, a very good chance Matt Stafford is the quarterback on Sunday. Now let me ask you this: with the Ravens' recent couple games, they faced a lot of backup quarterbacks, and this is going to be the first time they're seeing a legit number one guy, a franchise quarterback, in a couple weeks. How's it going to affect the defense going forward? Because I'm not going to say that the Green Bay game or the Texans game or any of the games were easy, anything like that. But when you do have a guy who has been on the sidelines for, you know, a lot of his career, you're not expecting, you know, there's a reason for that. So how do they go forward looking at this guy and know that he is a legit threat and he's going to make their lives hard on Sunday? What do the Ravens have to do to get over that?
Well, they're going to have to really hone in on what they do best in defending the pass. I mean, we already know what they can do about the run. The Lions have no running game. So if they get anything going on the running game, I'm going to be very, very shocked and very suspect at a run defense because Brandon Williams and company up front, that running game should not be a factor at all. And they should make them one-dimensional, which I have a great feeling that's exactly what's going to happen on Sunday. And it's going to happen. And they're going to really be tested in that passing game because, as I did tweet it out earlier, you know, today, you know, he is on the brink of 4,000 passing yards. So Stafford has the pedigree. He's a top 10 passer in the league. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that in the offense because if this were a Monday night game, if we played this game actually, you know, 6 days prior, I feel like John Gruden would be tickled to death because he loves the name Jim Bob Cooter. And I'm sure you're probably like, where'd you pull that out of? Jim Bob Cooter is the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. He is highly anticipated to probably being interviewed for a head coaching vacancy, which will happen in the NFL in the offseason. So, you know, he's up there. But it just every time the Lions were on a Monday Night Football game, there was a prop bet in Vegas. And I showed my dad this, and he was dying laughing. I said there was an over and under how many times John Gruden would say Jim Bob Cooter during the broadcast. I think I counted 5 during the game, he said. So it's just that name. You got to say Jim Bob Cooter. You know, he was like talking about the offense. He goes, Jim Bob Cooter's drawing up these plays, and Jim Bob, it's just funny. So, you know, it's a legitimate name, Jim Bob Cooter. As funny as it is to say it, it brings a smile to my face every time. I don't know why. It's just a silly name to say, Jim Bob Cooter. But, you know, he's going to dial up the passing game because that's where we're going to be battle-tested. And with way Hopkins tore us up, you know, again, you know, we covered it before on the Red Eye Review. You know, it's the defense let up that opening touchdown. Then they pretty much, you know, they raided the ship and said, you know what, we're going to tighten up here and saying no more touchdowns. And that's what happened. You know, they let a few big plays in there, a lot of dumb penalties, but it was clean up to where they did not cross the goal line. And it was like the line in the sand. They said, you know what, it ruffled them a little bit. He goes, okay, we played around, no more playing around. And they took it to them. And I feel like that's what might happen here on Sunday. You know, not really going to give away my prediction here, but I feel like the Ravens could easily – this is a game that could easily get away from them and they could lose this game, and this is a game that can, you know, win. I mean, obviously it's 50-50, win or lose, flip a coin. But I feel like this is the game they must have. You know, it's a home game. You got to take it. This is one of the hardest two games starting the two-game stretch of their hardest two games in a row, home and away. You know, we play Pittsburgh next week. So, you know, and the Lions are going to be – the Lions and Steelers back-to-back are going to really be a good test for us to say, are we legit? Not only as a contender with the way – how bad we are on offense and how bad we are overall, but with this passing defense. Because if we can keep Matt Stafford in check – I'm going to walk with my head high going into Heinz Field on Sunday night in 2 weeks and really going, you know what? We're not scared of Antonio Brown and Big Ben. We're going to take it to him. And remember what happened there on a frightful Christmas night last year. And they're not going to do that again. So I feel like this comes at a great time because we're 6-5 holding the final spot. And if we feel like we have any ounce of, you know, of positiveness to even go forward into the playoffs, you know, this is going to be a test because if the Ravens come out of here with a, you know, a 27-17 win or a 23, you know, 17 or how be it like that kind of score or 20-17, and we can hold them in check when the passing game mostly, you know, we're going to feel good. It just that's going to be the key matchups. It's going to be holding Marvin Jones has been on a tear. He had 2 touchdowns, I believe, you know, on Thanksgiving. With the Lions, and the Lions lost that game, which is crazy. I mean, they put up all these offensive numbers, and they lost. And that's another thing is, if my rant served any purpose this week, it was that. It was like, you know, the Lions had a receiver who had 2 touchdowns in the game. He balled out. He had an Antonio Brown-like day, but they didn't win the game. They lost by 7. So, you know, you can have all the offense you want, but if you sacrifice your defense for it, you're mediocre anyway. So, you know, what good is having a prolific passing offense if your defense is suspect? And that's what the Steelers are stuck with right now. So, you know, if there's balance. Now, there's a reason why Philly, and there's a reason why the Los Angeles Rams are successful and the Minnesota Vikings, because they have a top-flight defense, top 10 defense, but then they also have a top offense to go with it, where their offense can produce, then their defense just goes to work, and it's a recipe for big success, as the record shows. You know, there's a difference between being 9-2 and 10-1 and being dominant, and there's a difference between 8-3 and 9-2 and being very lucky and very suspect. So again, records don't hide that, but this Lions team is dangerous because it's a must win on all fronts on both teams. And the Lions, I believe they're 5-6. They're kind of in the mix down there in the AFC wildcard race, but right now they're on the outside looking in. We're on the inside looking, you know, out. So, you know, we have the inside track. It's up to us to take care of business. But, dude, Matt Stafford, man, buckle up, because he's going to let it fly.
Yeah, he definitely is. And I'm not going to lie, I do like Detroit. I do like the Lions. I do like Matt Stafford. They're one of the teams I do root for when I'm not rooting for the Ravens. But this should be a great game. And this, like you said, this should definitely be a test, because the Ravens were dubbed one of the scariest and most dangerous teams in the AFC. They got to get through Detroit and then Pittsburgh to really claim that. Like we said, the last three games of the year, they're not going to be cakewalks, but the pressure is off of them if they can get through the next 2 weeks with a couple W's. So it's got to start. I guess from now on, every game is a playoff game if you're the Ravens at this point. And
it truly is.
Yeah.
And did you notice that? Is NFL Network always gives us some love for some reason? I love it, man. I mean,
in December. You know,
well, yeah, but it's the respect factor. I mean, as bad as 6-5 are, you have paid professionals on the NFL's flagship the premier network on television, and they're talking about. There was a good 5-minute clip about basically our whole team. It's, you know, they broke it down, and you bring up a good point, because I want to wrap things up there with that is, you know, Ike Taylor brought that to light, because he said you're one of the scariest, because they have a top-rated defense who can make you force turnovers, turn the ball over. They're scary, they're healthy, and they have a running game. And Colin Cowherd also said this on his podcast/radio show, is the Ravens have a recipe and a formula for success. The Patriots have the same formula, but the Steelers, you know, they kind of – they're up in the air, and that's why he feels like they're going to falter, is – they have a good defense and a good running game. And that's why when we start a show, if Alex Collins is not going to be going for us on Sunday, it's going to be detrimental to our plans for that, because if we can't run a ball, we know we can't pass it. So, you know, when I tell us that we're on scary teams, we're scary because we have a league-leading 26 takeaways. And, you know, it's 26 less opportunities that you took away from opposing offenses, and then you give your offense an opportunity to get 3 or even 7 points, or sometimes 8. Who knows? Or if the defense gets their hands on the ball and gets a turnover, they can turn it into points for 6 themselves. So it sets up scoring opportunities for the offense. So, yes, it's kind of like the defense is a new offense, because if we need to rely on them, and everybody's like, well, how can you lean on one side of the ball? Again, I was tweeting on my rant the whole time. You can lean on one side of the football. About half the last Super Bowls, you know, did it. I mean, you know, you do it with, you know, running the football, ball control, mediocre offense, and a dominant defense. And more oftentimes, that's the winning formula. Winning formula isn't throwing for 500 yards and 5 touchdowns, because if you give up 6 touchdowns to the opposing offense, you lose the game. I mean, I don't need to run through the gamut of what the Jets did last Sunday, what happened to the Lions last Thursday. Again, you know, the Lions had a great, great offensive output, but it was a losing effort. The Ravens had a sucky offensive output, but won the game. So pick your poison. Do you want – I pose the question today. Do you want to lose pretty, or do you want to win ugly? What, you know, come on, people. I mean, you know, at this time of the year, wins and losses matter to me. I mean, we're in the fantasy playoffs. If you want to talk fantasy, we'll do a one-off fantasy podcast. But the Ravens team is not going to be a fantasy-driven team. So get out of that fairyland. Joe Flacco is not going to throw that kind of the yardage and the touchdowns. You know, the running game is the running game. But it's going to come down Sunday. It's the matchups. And this Lions team comes in here. They're pretty good and they're hungry. They lost at their house on Thanksgiving. They've had a week to prepare, actually longer than a week. And you know, and that's what another scary thing is they got the rest and we played on a short week, albeit we're home, but we have a shorter week than they did. So they're rested.
Matt Stafford's not going to make it easy for this Ravens defense. I definitely don't see that happening. So I want the Ravens to win this one. I feel like they will win this one. But you know, it's going to be all defense led. I hope Terrell Suggs is up for a big day because we're going to need him at his absolute top game, and he has looked fantastic this year. So
he has, and that's another thing is I did mention that again. You know, this week, you know, is you're all whining and complaining about this and this and that, but Suggs is quietly having a career year. The dude is balling out. Could be his last year here, whether it's in the NFL total or here's a Raven. I don't know what's going to happen all season, but he's building more blocks into his foundation for his Hall of Fame career here, man. A Raven for life. The dude is absolutely a monster, man. He motored on Monday night, you know, and he said he channeled his inner Ray Lewis. He said in his post game, you know, that, you know, Ray is always there in his head because he said with about a strip sacks. Ray was like, he wants the ball, and that's what Suggs says. Instead of sacking, he goes, let's do a little bit extra. And when you get the strip sack fumble, you're creating plays. And how many times, you know, our other, you know, playmaker, Ed Reed, man, how many times does he always get the ball but then always look to pitch it, man, and we always shudder and squirm in our seats, man, because it's like as soon as Ed Reed gets it, dude, he's trying to make a play, and he always says, hey, when I get the ball in my hands, I'm going to make a play, whether it's me taking it to the house or me pitching off. And he always loved to pitch that ball, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It always scary, but more times than not, it worked. And there was a couple of times it didn't work in our favor, but I remember the great one that he had at one time, and he pitched it back. So it works out. So, again, with the defense making plays, and that's another thing is, you know, we're focusing on the defense so much. You don't want an injury there because that derails all the plans. I mean, we can get away with a receiver being out here and there, but I feel like we shouldn't because, you know, at that point we need all hands on deck for a healthy run if we're going to make a realistic shot at this wild card spot. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, we can get away with that. I mean, if Alex Collins goes down, let the next man up and let's hopefully it could bolster well for us. But it's going to be a big, huge X factor if he's not, man.
Absolutely. So, Josh, have we covered everything?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Make sure you write us an iTunes review. And if you are local to the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Pennsylvania, Delaware area, tune in on Tuesday nights to Maryland Public Television and watch Maryland Farm and Harvest at 7 o'clock. It is a show I work on. I edit the show, and I think we're on our fourth episode. You can watch past episodes at video.mpt.tv. But if you enjoy some Maryland programming, there's some great information about the farm culture and everything in Maryland. It's really cool. Check it out. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, get us ready. It's Purple Friday. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much as well, my friend. It's always great to do The Call. I know everybody's excited that The Call's back in full force, ready for this December run. And you know, it's going to be fun. You know, I didn't really get the cover on the show, but just wanted to wrap things up here. I actually have a friend of mine. He's a Lions fan. He's flying into town. You're like, man, why are you giving your tickets away to Pussy fans? You know, this is a great opportunity because he's one of my good friends. And he was the one that invited me up in Detroit where I was at the famous Monday Night Football game, you know, 4 years ago where Tucker kicked that great 61-yard field goal to win that game. And I was present for that and accounted for. And, you know, it's a great thing, you know, to have, you know, the rivalry. It's, and I've always said, hey, at least he's not a Steelers fan. But he comes in, you know, on this weekend, and, you know, we're going to have some fun. We have some things planned. And you know, we're going to get after it, on Sunday. Just have a little bit of fun, and I can't wait to spend time with him. Can't wait to, you know, root our teams hard, but obviously only one in the best, you know, wins the game, and I just really hope it's us. You know, it's all right there, guys, and with the problems we have, you just got to enjoy this game. We got to come out firing. We got to come out ready. We just got to come out because we have 5 games left in this very. Very shortened season because, like Brandon said, man, I can't believe it's already week 13. And, man, I mean, I'm already in one fantasy playoff. You know, I'm already a week to go in one and then 2 weeks to go in another. I mean, it's here, man. I mean, week 13 of the NFL is going to come and go very quickly. Before I know it, we're going to be covering, you know, some Christmas Eve game or the Eve game, I should say, this year. And then, you know, before you know it, the season finale. So you got to take them. And each one as it comes, and I just can't believe that we're in December football. It's where the Ravens usually are their best. Let's see what best effort they have for us on Sunday. Guys, I know it's just been a long, frustrating season. Thank you to all who stuck it out. If you haven't, you know, that's quite okay. You know, to each is their own, and, you know, we hope to have you guys back soon, rooting team on hard. And with that being said, Purple Friday, this weekend, Ravens-Lions, Baltimore Ravens fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.